broadcasting around the entire world. From Austin, Texas, via Simplecast, and supported by listeners like you. Bitcoin, billions, stellar, trading, mining, markets, FUD, sharing, forks, millions, bytes, wise. Keeping you up to date on everything crypto. Welcome to Thriller News. Now here is your host, Carl Gonzalez.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls from around the world. Welcome to another episode of Thriller News. How you doing? How's your Sunday going? Pretty good? All right. Yeah. Let's talk about what we're going to talk about, because there's a lot to talk about. 9K Bitcoin is a lot to talk about, and crypto's top story. Let's do it.
Crypto top stories.
All right. Today's crypto top story is Bitcoin has reached an all-time new high. That's right. It reached 8,900, but I'm calling it 9K because some places around the world, it's across 9K already. Now, this price once again jumped by 22%, first rising above 8,500 on Sunday, and then, of course, in a bullish fashion, reached over 8,700 within the hour, and now it's currently changing hands at around 8,890 in some places over 9K. Now, everybody wants to know where this real volume is coming from. And like I've been saying here recently, it's pretty accurate, at least to me, maybe others. But some of the research I've been doing, especially for these new shows that I've been launching, I'm starting to look at the transaction volume. And if we look at the transaction volume, we're just about above 2 billion right now in transaction volume, 3 billion, 3.28 billion here a couple of weeks ago. The last time we were at that range was, believe it or not, last year around July. That's right, when Bitcoin was around 7,000. Now, another thing you want to look at too is the transaction count. Now, transaction count wouldn't mean much, right? But the last time we were in a full bull run, we were reaching at 375,000 transactions, right? Today, we're at 389 transactions. It's pretty astounding, and Tim Draper actually went on CNBC to talk about Bitcoin and its future. Check this out.
When people ask, well, so what do you think has happened with Bitcoin? I say, well, you know, one Bitcoin is still one Bitcoin. It always has been, always will be. There are only 21 million of them, and you probably should get one. And as opposed to thinking, comparing it against the fiat currency, because I look at currencies and I say, well, there's Bitcoin, and they say, well, that's very volatile. And I say, no, all the other currencies are very volatile against Bitcoin because they know that this is really transforming the world. And so these currencies that are tied to political forces or dictatorships or even the dollar, which really does have political influence and has to be the monetary policy has to be so precise to get it just right. Why bother?
You know, if you look at Bitcoin performance this year, it's at roughly 130%. It's up. We look at oil, it's up 29%. NASDAQ is up 15%. S&P 500 is up 13%. Dow Jones is up 10%. FTSE 100 plus 8%. Nikkei plus 6%. And gold down 0.8%. Yeah, it's no wonder, you know, a lot of younger people and some, in fact, in the older generation are getting into Bitcoin. Yeah, it's pretty astounding how far we've come, and it sure doesn't help that we have a lot of exciting news to talk about. One being AT&T, that definitely helped out a lot, especially with transaction counts. All right, with that, let's get into crypto rapid fire.
Rapid fire, just in case you missed it.
All right, first Next up, we got Binance. Binance is in the news. They said that they are going to release a margin trading launch here fairly soon. And it isn't clear when the feature will launch, but analysts have stated that this will be a revolution in how the cryptocurrency market operates and trades going forward. Weeks ago, CEO CZ told an audience on a live streaming app that his firm had begun to give institutional players and whales an opportunity to play with Binance's margin offering. Yeah. We got AT&T now accepting Bitcoin through BitPay. It was announced on Thursday that Texas-based American technology giant valued at $234 billion will be accepting Bitcoin payments for services through the Atlanta-headquartered BitPay. Per a press release, AT&T is now the first major U.S. mobile carrier to provide its millions of customers with the ability to purchase services for cryptocurrency. And speaking on behalf of this was Kevin McDorman, vice president of AT&T Communications. He says, "We're always looking for ways to improve and expand our services. We have customers who use cryptocurrency, and we are happy to offer them a way to pay their bills with the method they prefer." And in our next bullish news, Grayscale is looking to offer an Ethereum trust. And it just revealed that they received a regulatory stamp of approval from FINRA, Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, to offer shares in its Ethereum trust publicly. It was stated that the product allows investors to gain exposure to the price movement of Ethereum through a traditional investment vehicle without the challenges of buying, storing, and safekeeping. Way to go, Grayscale. Next up, we have some bad news in Iran. Looks like local Bitcoin's ban is starting to commence. That's right. Local Bitcoins has officially shut off service for Iran-based users, a move that follows weeks of rising trial trading volumes on the platform. The Helsinki-based peer-to-peer exchange has not explicitly said why Iranians are suddenly being cut off from its service, though U.S. sanctions are almost certainly the cause. News of the move first circulated across local language Telegram channels earlier this week that the exchange had blocked Iranians. Now, users reported encountering problems in posting new trades and updating previous ones on the website. If you haven't an account already, you'll be able to withdraw your Bitcoins, but you will not be able to use a platform for trading. And that is a response directly from local Bitcoins to an Iranian user that has circulated in social media and local news websites. It was also a message appeared on its platform's Iran country page stating that unfortunately local Bitcoins is currently not available in your selected region. Our services are not available in your region for risk-based reasons. Well, that sucks. Next up, we got Hollywood producer raises $100 million for media-focused security token. That's right, Proximia Media, a firm founded by film producer Ryan Kavanaugh, has raised $100 million for a token that allows investment in media content. The new token called ProxyCoin received a notable backing from VC firm Step Ventures and the Central Wealth Investment Fund of Hong Kong. They announced that the fully audited token is expected to be listed and traded on Asian cryptocurrency exchange Fusang. Through a deal that's already been inked, Proxima is also planning to create a stock exchange-like trading platform called Entertainment Stock X in a bid to help individual film and television projects raise funds via initial public offerings. Well, that's interesting. We got Montana passing a bill to exempt utility tokens from security laws. That's right. The governor of the U.S. state of Montana, Steve Bullock, signed House Bill 584 into law earlier this month, recognizing utility tokens and exempting them from being considered as securities under local rules with caveats. He titled Generally Revised Laws Relating to Cryptocurrency. The bill was sponsored by state representatives and set out to establish that utility token transactions are permissible as long as the purpose of the token is primarily consumptive. Consumptive purpose is defined being to provide or receive goods or services or content, including access to goods, services, or content. It's worth noting that the federal rules supersede those at the state level laws, so the real world impacts of the bill are likely to be restricted to crypto issuances within the state and to state residents. However, it marks another step on the way to clear regulations for such tokens in the U.S. And that's all we got for Crypto Rapid Fire. A lot of great news in there, some bad news, but let's go ahead and jump into it. Crypto YouTube, let's do it.
Crypto YouTube, the world of Crypto YouTube, the world of Crypto YouTube, the world of Crypto YouTube.
All right, today's crypto YouTube video is not exactly a crypto YouTube video. It's from Guy Swan from his podcast, The Crypto Economy, and he's talking about the 51% attack that just recently happened here with Bitcoin Cash. That's right. It's not really making the news. It's not making the headlines, but you should still know what's going on. Now, it's a lot in there, and this is going to be quite a listen. And, well, check this out.
So, and SegWit signatures themselves are actually allocated to a different spot. They're just not included in the specific data of that, and they are hashed separately. But what it means is that because signatures could actually be modified without making them invalid, like it wouldn't change any of the information about the transaction, but you could change the transaction ID. So it made an attack vector referred to as malleability, where you could post a transaction. You could basically give someone a transaction with a certain receipt number, and they could watch the network to make sure that receipt number didn't show up. And there was a trick, malleability, which allowed them to change the signature, which modified the receipt number, but made the transaction exactly the same. It didn't change any of the details in the transaction, so they could publish it and you wouldn't be able to see because you had the wrong receipt number. Think of it like getting a refund at Target twice by because they just, you know, check off that, okay, we've already refunded this receipt based on the receipt number, and then you can bring the same receipt in with a different receipt number, and then they check and there's no check mark because it's got a completely different receipt number. So it's sort of like that in the Bitcoin transaction sense. It did not mean that you could double spend coins or anything, but what it did mean is that if anybody was accepting an unconfirmed transaction, or the attack was used against Mt. Gox, and what they were doing was they were using the transaction ID simply to verify withdrawals from Mt. Gox. And this, whoever the attacker or attackers were modifying the transaction ID using this little quirk and withdrawing multiple times from Mt. Gox. Mt. Gox would keep checking the quote-unquote transaction number and be like, okay, there's no withdrawal from this account yet, so withdraw again. So they just kept doing it. So it shows this is kind of one of the risks of not running a full node. You know, there are little things that you can exploit if you don't have all of the data of the chain. But SegWit fixed this. BCH, Bitcoin Cash, back in 2017 when they forked, the first thing they did was remove SegWit. But think about it, the transactions are pretty much the same. The keys, the signatures, all the other stuff is compatible with BCH from Bitcoin. So tons of people make the mistake and continue to do so, apparently, from some services or some wallets, actually sending Bitcoin Cash to SegWit addresses, which means that on BCH, on Bitcoin Cash network, hopefully this isn't confusing for anybody who's not very familiar with all this stuff, but the Bitcoin Cash network sees these transactions as anyone can spend. They don't see the signature that's actually locking the coins, which is the SegWit client, which is only on the Bitcoin network. So essentially, since 2017, there's been a significant number and at times growing number of coins that were accidentally sent to quote, SegWit addresses, which meant that anybody could access them on BCH. Nobody actually owned them on that network. It's possible that they were like replayed onto the BCH network, but I'm not sure how long there was. They actually implemented a replay protection at some point, but I can't remember if it was right at the beginning or if it was actually just a little bit when they fixed the EDA problem that they had. I can't remember exactly. So it's possible that some of these are actually replayed where somebody made a transaction on Bitcoin and then they, you know, copied it and posted it to BCH. But regardless, a bunch of coins were locked up in these anyone can spend. Well, not locked up. The opposite of locked in anyone can spend addresses on Bcash. And I can't determine whether or not this was actually on purpose, because the details of it actually, a couple of things I read on it actually made it seem like this something called CleanStack, which was implemented on BCH, made the SegWit coins unspendable, basically locked them up, whereas otherwise anyone could just grab them because they're just, you know, open addresses. It's just like throwing Bitcoin out into the courtyard and just seeing if everybody goes and grabs them. But some of the things that I read kind of made it seem like that this was just unintentional, that they were using CleanStack for something else, but I actually can't confirm. So, but this recent hard fork, the May 15th hard fork to implement Schnorr signatures on BCH, actually was removing CleanStack or changing it so that these SegWit coins were actually spendable again, which means that a miner could actually just scoop up all of these coins as soon as the hard fork went through. But there was a bug that had been sitting around in the Bitcoin ABC client for a long time, and that someone had been, obviously people were, somebody was aware of it, and had been waiting for a good opportunity to exploit it. And they took the hard fork recently as just their prime opportunity. So the first thing that happened was that Bitcoin ABC started getting a bunch of invalid transactions in their mempool. And as far as I can tell, what this bug did was it allowed a miner to put, they were referred to as poison transactions in one of the things that I read by the Bitcoin dev, I mean the BCH dev. They were referred to as poison transactions, but they were invalid transactions that were allowed into Bitcoin ABC's mempool. But they wouldn't be allowed in a block added to the chain. So anybody who had this bug was trying to include transactions into blocks that would make an invalid block because the process of validating the transaction wasn't thorough, or obviously had a bug to exploit. So immediately, they were getting a lot of empty blocks, and I think it was just BTC Top. Let me read in this article. At least BTC Top, possibly another miner, immediately started mining empty blocks, and this was so that they could continue producing blocks because the poison transactions were making it impossible to produce blocks unless they figured out how to make sure they were excluding those. They had to talk to the devs to make sure that those transactions got evicted from the mempool so they could continue back with normal operation. But I found another, in my hunt for this stuff on BitcoinExchangeGuide.com, they were talking about there's been concerns very recently because BTC Top had over 51% of the hash power by themselves. They had a total of, they maxed out at 54%, I think, was the highest that they got. So essentially they could have done a 51% attack entirely by themselves. So this is about to come into play with what exactly happened. But in the confusion, this unknown miner exploited the bug to get the poison transactions included in the mempool. And at the same time, well, I take that back. I don't think they know if it was the same person, but it seems to make perfect sense that this is what they were trying to do. They were trying to create a bug that was making it so other miners could not produce proper blocks, and then included the SegWit. Now that SegWit was unlocked with the hard fork, all the SegWit coins, the accidentally sent coins, they could snatch up the SegWit coins to their own addresses. But apparently BTC Top and BTC.com were either expecting that this might happen or they were preparing to recover the SegWit coins themselves because they responded immediately. They had to be watching this live when it hit. They were watching those SegWit addresses and then saw that somebody was producing. They were already producing empty blocks to get around the bug. And then as soon as they noticed the SegWit coins being spent, they started, they agreed. That was the other thing, too, is that it seems like there's no other way that they didn't have some private channel that they were just actively in and sitting and waiting for this, because their response was incredibly fast. And they were right ready with the exact action that they did, which was to reorg those two blocks and remove the transactions, because all the Reddit threads are talking and saying, I could not actually confirm this from anywhere with BTC.top or BTC.com. This is simply Reddit consensus. This is what they were saying on Reddit. But that BTC.top and BTC.com were working together to attempt to recover those SegWit coins to their rightful owners. And that maybe they had been working with an exchange and or users. I have no idea. That's just the assumption. And I have no idea how they found who the rightful owners of all these coins are, or if maybe they only sent some that were specifically to an exchange. I have no idea. That seems like a stretch, but we'll give them the benefit of the doubt that this was an honest move by BTCtop and BTC.com. But I don't think it makes it any less scary as to the consequences of this. But what they did is they immediately decided to reorg the chain, and they removed two blocks. BTCtop and BTC.com in conjunction removed these two blocks, took out the SegWit transactions that this unknown miner were trying to scoop up, and then put their own transactions in, spending the exact same coins and plus a bunch of others.
So just to reiterate, a 51% attack occurs when someone controls the majority of mining power on a proof-of-work blockchain network. This means that the majority block verifier can prevent other users from mining and reverse transactions. It appears here in this situation that the two miners with majority control of the Bitcoin Cash network, BTC.top and BTC.com, performed the attack in an effort to stop this unknown miner from taking coins. You know, this sets a precedence for Bitcoin Cash going forward. Now, Roger Ver hasn't publicly talked about this. We know he's kind of the leading person in charge when it comes to Bitcoin Cash, or the person that everybody looks to, right? Or at least this precedence is set going forward, and this can't be good for the community, it can't be good for the network, and it can't be good as this kind of currency that they're trying to make Bitcoin Cash become, right? So we'll see where this goes. A lot of other blockchains have been 51% attacked in the past. We know ETC and a dozen others, and it'll continue to happen. just the way it is, unfortunately. It's just the way the crypto world is. Gosh, everybody's trying to make a right or wrong and a wrong or right. Sometimes you just got to let it be, right? Is that the Beatles? I think it was. Okay, with that, let's get into crypto Twitter. Let's do it.
Crypto Twitter.
Crypto Twitter.
Crypto Twitter.
You know, usually around this time, you see a lot of people that were not in this bear market that kind of got out, and then they're getting back in. You're seeing a lot of people with dormant crypto Twitter accounts kind of reemerge, as they say. That's what goes on in the media space too. It's just funny. I wish I could quit something like that. I just can't. It's just, once I get going on something, it's hard to stop, at least for me. We got Crypto Dog, one of my favorite crypto people to follow. He says, not gonna lie, it feels really good making this crypto money with you all. Thank you for joining me on this journey. You're welcome. We look at Peter Brandt. He says, this is the FOMO phase of the advanced. Once the majority of sold out crypto bulls capitulate, and chase this rally, a more sizable correction will likely occur, stomping out the same bulls who are chasing this advance. We also have Frank Shapiro. He says, furthermore, Bitwise notes that the tight correlation between crypto futures, regulated futures, spot market suggests the market is matured. We look at Michael Tracy. He says, the tendency to cast any deviation from contemporary left and liberal consensus as crypto fascism or even outright fascism is among most stifling and absurd elements of the hysteria-induced moral panic that we've been beset with for the past several years. Jesus, Michael, write a Medium article. That's way too many words. We look at Crypto Bobby. He says, crypto Twitter eating itself alive. So I'm just going to post all about this stuff and eat instead. He has a picture of some barbecue. Yeah, not bad. Not bad. Not bad at all. We got some other people posting some barbecue and Bitcoin tweets. We got Heidi, blockchain chick. She says, SpaceX has just put NASA to shame. Why? The less government intervention, the better. Crypto is no different. Short government, long free markets. Wow. I think that's all we got for crypto Twitter. Yeah, not too bad, not too bad. Everybody's getting into it. Even CZ says there's no such thing as max price for Bitcoin. And then people are taking pictures of their Lambos. Yeah. It looks like the bull market's back, baby. All right, with that, let's get into Coin 360.
Crypto 360 weather report.
All right, we got a total market cap of 270 billion. That's right, billion. Got Bitcoin dominance at 57.5%. Bitcoin at 88.66, up 9% on the day. We got Ethereum at 268. We got XRP at 41 cents. Bitcoin Cash at 431. 51% attack. Doesn't matter, it looks like. We got Litecoin at $112. Yeah, bull market will trick you into some things, I guess. We got a 24-hour change. Maximine coin up 49% like a beast, up at 4 cents. Got crypto.com. Jesus Christ, this cryptocurrency will not die. Up 25% at $7. We got Dent at 1/1000th of a tenth at 19 cents. We got Bitcoin SV at $108, 17%. We got BitTorrent token, oh man, up 17%. This is starting to look like a bull market if these are going up. We got Aurora down 33% at 2 cents. Theta Fuel, never heard of it, down 17% at 1 penny. We have Solve at 27 cents at down 7%. Orbs, 3 cents, down 6%. Stratus, $1.02, down 3%. Dang, can't believe Stratus never made it. All right, I think that's all we got. That's all we got here in this episode of Thriller News. Let's get on to the end of the show.
New York.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, a Thriller News is Dunsies. Thank you so much for listening. I really appreciate you. And if you want to keep listening, make sure to check out our subscription link below. We have a Thriller Crypto subscription. We offer 3 new shows every week. Yeah, yeah. Our season 2 is coming to an end. Tomorrow's our last episode. We're going to do a Thriller Crypto. That's going to be awesome. Hope you guys like it. But yeah, looking great, man. Everything's looking great in front of us. Bye, Bitcoin. See the world. See you tomorrow.
This is the end of the show. You have been listening to Thriller Podcast with Bar Gonzalez. Remember, Thriller Podcast is not financial advice. Everything Carr said likely won't come true. It is up to you. Now go, do your own research. Listen to other dudes that start their name with crypto, and not Carr. And remember, buy Bitcoin and save the world. One Satoshi at a time.